Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Castathetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at castathetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please, bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Castathetic. I'm your host, Keaton Buse, and you know them, you love them. They're back on the show for the fourth time. Welcome to another episode of the Dusk Whales, episode 4, A New Hope. Here it is with their new song, which I'm assuming is going to be on their new album, which we'll talk about here soon. Oh, shaking head no. Okay, so this song's just for this thing, I guess. So here it is. It's I Know Where My Good Luck Is by the Dusk Whales. That song was I Know Where My Good Luck Is by the Dusk Whales. Let's get to know their voices a bit so that you guys can reacquaint yourselves intimately in a voice fashion. So go around.
I am Brian. I play keyboards.
I'm Chris. I play the drums.
I'm Seth. I play guitar and I sing.
And I'm Keaton, and I just follow these guys around as much as I can.
That cheesemonger.
Ex-cheesemonger.
Former cheesemonger.
Yeah, I put that life behind me.
Yeah.
All right, so before we start talking about the album, I want to hear about the wild, wonderful world
of Westeros.
Of West Virginia whales.
Very similar, actually.
Of the whales Very of similar. West Virginia.
Is that where we're just going to get yeah, right into that
I wanna,
story?
Yeah, I want right to know this story. Headlines. Let's dive okay. right into the story.
Well, okay. Well, so there's a festival that I guess this was their first time putting
first
it on in West
it.
Virginia.
So,
yeah. Yeah, called Gotta Fest. And
that's
nothing
GOTTA.
Yeah, nothing against the people that run that festival or like the bands that played. We saw some really cool bands and there were bands that we liked and everybody was generally really nice there. There were some really helpful people. But however, getting there and then mostly leaving West Virginia, it was in the middle of nowhere, kind of like really deep woods, West Virginia.
It's a mile. It's like a mile of like dirt road to
yeah.
get to it.
Yeah, literally. It's like, and the roads are terrible. They're like, you know.
Roller coaster, dirt.
Yeah,
coaster.
Very, literally roller coaster, like very steep, very uphill. And we're going, and the whole time I'm thinking, like, oh man, like, I really hope it doesn't rain this weekend because if it rains, like, these roads are just mudslides. And I thought about saying something. And I was like, no, it's not going to rain. We're fine. We're going to get out of here tonight. That was the plan. We were going to play, and then we were going to leave that night. Somebody else want to take over this story? I want to just...
Well, yeah, we were pretty sad starting to set up, and it just started pouring rain, and we all sort of knew that like we were going to get trapped there.
Yeah.
And most of the people that were out kind of went back into their tents and sort of did their own thing.
Yeah, we played in the pouring rain.
Yeah, literally the power cut off for like a couple seconds. So yeah. We're like, oh, this is fine. So we're under this massive tarp and it's like dripping water everywhere. And there's a few people like watching us and it was fine. We played our set and everything. And so... Seth and Brian went to kind of investigate the roads.
Yes.
And regardless of what they came back and said, I was like, there's no way we can
oh my gosh.
We can get out of here.
Well, because the worst part of the roads was literally right outside where we were.
Yeah.
Was this like super steep. It would go downhill.
It's like a ravine.
And then yeah, this like ravine, and then it would like tilt to the right a ton. So that, like, as you were going, you just felt like the whole van was just going to, like, tip over on its side.
It was like if you had, like, if a waiter was, like, carrying, like, a big tray of stuff, and they're like, oh, I'm going to, like, tip it to the
everywhere.
Side.
Yeah, that's what it was like driving yeah. across there.
Like, it was freaky when the roads were dry, but
yeah.
it was terrifying.
Can't even
imagine.
I thought the van was going to flip the first time it,
yeah.
it went
yeah.
and it was dry. And...
So our predictions were right. It turned into a total mudslide. Cars were trying to leave and failing miserably. We watched one Jeep get away. But he was going all over
like
the place.
No other.
We would have been so dead. Like our minivan full of equipment. So like, all right, I guess we're stuck here tonight. So we did. We spent the night there.
Slept in the van. That was the easy part.
There, except
but,
for like the
but
music.
The van, if I may. So we're you know getting ready. We're setting them down for a warm winter's nap with my wife and I.
one's the wife?
Which
Brian and Chris are the wife. And we're like, oh, thanks be to God, the music's over. It's almost over behind us. You know, this band had finished playing. And our car was parked right in front of another stage, right? And there's a stage down the hill. And so we're like, oh, good, music's over. And we see, like, this, like, you know, like, little, like, MacBook symbol, like, appear, like, in front of us on the stage. And we're like, oh, no.
Yeah,
like, what's happening? Like, is someone, like,
it's
trying to do something?
Ghost of Steve Jobs.
And then, yeah, it's a ghost of Steve Jobs, yeah, with Skrillex. And then just dubstep just starts playing,
oh,
just
no,
booming,
bad.
Shaking our car. It was like thunder.
Like an yeah. hour.
We're it just trying to fall asleep.
Awful.
We're sad.
The guy had a remix of that West yeah. Virginia song.
West
just,
Virginia.
But like dubstep version. It was
take me
something
home.
Else. Yeah.
Take me home.
I fell asleep during it, apparently.
Somehow, yeah. Brian and I were
the
like
soothing sounds of dubstep.
Delirious. Brian and I had like delirious laughing fits
yeah.
that eventually lulled us to sleep.
Crying. So, okay, so that was
that was fine. Honestly,
that was the fine part of the whole.
That's the easy part.
Yeah. So we wake up in the morning and we're like, okay, maybe we can actually get out of here. It starts pouring rain again. So it's like, okay, this is horrible. There's no way we're leaving. Rain cools down. We go outside. We look. looking really bad. What do you want
to
say?
No, I was going to say, because I remember you mentioned that, like, if Keaton were here, he would probably, like, turn, like, this, like, hill into, like, a mudslide that we could
use. Oh, easily. Yeah, Chris.
If it was UMF, they would have, you know.
Yeah, Chris would
have monopolized.
Totally, yeah.
The vibes are very different, you know, because we've done UMF. We've done this other thing called Gypsy Fest, which would be very similar, outdoor, like, family-run event. I thought it was going to be the same. And again, nothing against the people running it. They were doing the best they could, but it was
they
just
the
situation.
The
yeah, the weather and yeah. like the obstacle of like trying to build this, you know, festival in the middle of the woods. It just like...
And then because of the rain, everybody just got stranded
yeah.
there. So we really wanted to leave. We were just like, we were not having
this
it.
This other band had to, their van was literally towed out by a bulldozer.
And by their
the
van.
The bulldozer, the bulldozer was like slipping all over the place.
By their van, we mean an Enterprise rent-a-van.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going
to... Shout out to Enterprise.
Let's hope they got the insurance.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, and then, so the lady running it, she thought it would be a good idea to have a massive...
Military truck.
Go through the ravine and maybe squash all of the mud down and pack it down and create a road.
Opposite of that.
It just kicked up all of the mud and it got worse.
It
got stuck down there. This massive truck goes down there, starts sliding everywhere, and then blocks the pathway out. Just gets stuck there. So we get this brilliant idea of what if we just go out into the woods and start building our own road?
Ingenuity.
Yeah, right? So everybody's... Nobody wants to join us on this idea, except we did.
We
got out
really,
there, and there was a couple other guys.
People. Yeah, we didn't ask anyone. We were just like, God, we need to get out of here.
Yeah, so
if that road's not working, we'll build our own damn road.
Yeah, no,
right, exactly.
Blaze our own trail.
Yeah, so they helped us out. We were like, you know, literally tearing down trees and like breaking branches and just removing stuff. At one point, we had to get a dude to get a...
We'll get to that point.
Right,
that comes
right,
to
fine.
That point.
So anyways, we start building this road.
Just trying to like imagine like yeah I think the van could fit through here just like tree here like yep
this is like
this is totally gonna work
you know
so we're going
we're building our own road it was bad because Chris would he could drive slowly but if he stopped for literally like 5 seconds he would just start sinking into the mud so we would constantly be having to like push him out right and so we're going through this road that we built and then it comes to a point where it's like, okay, this will connect, this like makeshift road that we've built will connect to a campsite that then connects to the road, mm-hmm. like the main dirt path. So really all we've done is managed to avoid the horrible ravine, but we still got to get to like a horrible dirt path.
Spindle's tent, yeah.
Yeah, but this is kind of better. But there's barbed wire on the ground. So luckily...
Death traps everywhere.
I know, right? Yeah. So luckily this guy...
The people on the other side of the barbed wire were like really friendly and had moved their tent out of the way for us.
Well, yeah we asked them if they could move their campsite and they're like, oh, we just made some like steak and eggs. Is it cool if we like eat this real quick? We're like, yeah, that's totally cool. So they had their breakfast and then they were really helpful. They moved their stuff out of the way.
They used their own towels to put over top the barbed wire so we could drive over
towel.
The barbed wire. One of the guys had a machete. And he used
just
that to cut down some trees for us that were in the way.
Yeah. It's like a Rambo figure.
Oh, he was great.
How crazy
Rico.
Must have it been
Rico.
For them? They're just camping out in the woods quietly in a minivan.
Yeah.
And comes through.
If Rico listens to this, like, shout out to
God
him.
God bless the
that
man
guy's
and
great.
His companions.
Yeah, we couldn't have escaped without them, honestly.
Yeah. But so we get through there, and then there's this massive tree stump, right? And the guy's telling us, like, oh, no, you'll be fine. Just drive right over it. And Chris drives on top of it and gets stuck.
Horrible noise.
Stuck
making
on
terrible
top of
noises.
It. Oh, horrible noises. It. He's stuck on top of it. So we had to get onto one side of the van and literally push it so it kind of lifted up off the ground as Chris accelerated and got him over the tree stump.
Also, this is like, the road is already starting to like slope, so like it's like super
dangerous.
Yeah,
so this was the first time my heart stopped.
Just, imagine like being behind the wheel and having like 30, no, okay, that's an exaggeration, but maybe like
might
10,
as well be 30.
10 different people just like, oh, turn it this way, like go, no, you're fine. And I'm just like, okay.
Sinking in the mud.
Yeah, just sinking, like sweating.
So now there's this steep incline going downhill, right? This one guy warns us like, it's a little muddy down here. And we're like, oh, no, it'll be fine. Look, it looks fine.
I made it this far.
Chris starts going down. And they're just like, oh, by the way, don't break. Chris breaks a little and just starts sliding down. And we're like, Chris, accelerate. So he did, luckily. I don't know how you, like, managed to wrap your mind around, like, I'm going really fast downhill this, like, mudslide. How should I handle this? But you handled it.
It had turned. That was when you comes around the bend sort of up the other trail, if I remember. So it was kind of like down that hill, kind of a swerve to the right, and then there's the other uphill, which was also dirt.
We'll
water on the left and the
right
side of that, which was kind of like the boss level of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Where we had to help, this guy helped us sort of like situate ourselves, and he's like, okay, yeah, just go up in first gear. And I was just like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Going straight up a hill.
First gear.
In first gear. So we tried to start sliding backwards. Like, no, that's not going to work. So
started going off pretty much almost into the water, though.
Yeah. If it fell, then just, I don't know.
Yeah.
What happened.
We figured the only option was that
just
Chris.
Floor it.
Yeah. Chris just like backs up like
puts it in,
20
puts it
feet.
Fourth.
Yeah. And then just like, you know,
up the
four
hill.
Wheel drive, just bam, just
hoping it goes.
Whole acceleration
yeah, just
up
honking
this thing.
The horn.
Yeah.
Making sure
and like,
if anyone's
if,
in the way.
If he got like midway and the mud was too much and he started sliding back down, like all of our equipment
screwed.
Would have been destroyed. He would have gone right back down into a river. It would have destroyed all of our equipment. Chris probably would have died. It would have been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But we were like there was no other option. We couldn't build
no
another road
back.
At that point. Yeah. This was like, we have to do this. And,
Chris
did
like
it.
Shouting like, Chris,
like,
do it.
Yeah,
Chris, you're a goddamn hero.
I know. Chris is seriously like the hero of the story.
Yeah,
but yeah,
get
we
this
get
this man a trophy.
We are his trophies.
Yeah, yeah.
We like what went to sheets afterwards.
Well, the story's not over
we,
yet.
Yeah, we get
okay,
to the top.
Yeah. So Florida up the hill, honking the horn. Everyone's diving out of the way. We get to the top, to the main gate, and the people there are like, oh, you guys are leaving? We're like, uh-huh, yeah. She's like,
oh, you should come back in August
like,
when
you know,
we do this again.
We're having another one in August. Y'all
like,
should come
yeah,
back.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Just like, get out of here.
Just,
yeah,
we just
they
know,
looked at us like, how did they,
you know,
get
like
up
the
here?
End of Texas Chainsaw Massacre where they're just driving away screaming? Or
we did,
yeah.
We rolled down the windows
like
and just
that.
Screamed.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my heart had stopped.
Never
so many
way
times.
To sheets.
Yeah,
it was awful. Story does not do it justice. You,
yeah.
just, you had to had him in there,
just
you had
bad,
to live it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now you guys got like the baddest ass story.
Yeah, we're really bad at telling it.
As we were driving back, we kept making correlations between our various obstacles and, like, you know, like the way of the cross where Jesus had to, like, you know, he's got the crown of
yeah.
thorns and people throwing stuff at him and the people
falling.
Who, yeah, the various falling was like us getting stuck.
Veronica and, with her,
yeah,
with the cloth
the
that
veil,
wipes the face.
People
of Jesus
helping him carry the
was
cross.
Like the dude
like
that
the barbed
had the towel.
Wires, like the thorns and
mm-hmm.
cutting the trees down.
Yeah,
so
a lot of Christian
if
themes.
Ever, yeah.
We were, yeah.
It's a very biblical tale.
The way
indeed,
of the
yeah.
cross.
We were fated to have.
It.
It
was its own sort of sorrowful.
Well, I really needed
history.
Everyone to hear that story on yeah. the internet. So now let's talk about this album you guys
okay,
have been
definitely.
Working so hard on.
It's kind of the same
Mark.
Story, actually.
Kind of the same story, yeah.
You got your van stuck in the mud. That became this
the
song.
Album.
Yeah.
We just recorded the sounds it was making.
So what's going to be the theme of this album? I know lots of your albums have kind of had little themes attached to them.
Sounds pretty... Thematic.
Pretty similar to what we were just talking about, the
quite
way
honest.
Of the cross.
Coincidentally, yeah.
Yeah, it is very coincidental. It's a good segue that we had there.
Yeah.
because, yeah, it is, it's got a lot of, Seth and I were calling it a coming of age
album. Yeah.
Album. We sort of stopped calling it that, but it is still, it's a lot about...
Having to grow up, pretty much.
Yeah, just like, literally just growing up. And also kind of equating it to, like, the way of the cross.
Yeah.
And
it's also, like, though, it's also a lot of, like, trying to, like, grow up when, like, we're all growing up, like, differently than most people our age. Like, most people my age are, like,
yeah.
going into their junior year of college, and Brian's people would be going into, like, senior year, and then they're going to get, like, jobs and get married and, like,
yeah, it's
have
been
normal lives.
Definitely an interesting, because the three of us shared very similar... like high school experiences where it was like since like Seth wasn't even in high school when the band started and we immediately started playing shows and like started taking the band really seriously. So like all of high school is just one big memory of just like the band. It was like we weren't
being
really
together.
Doing anything else, mm-hmm. you know, throughout high school. It was just like playing a lot of shows and having band practices and writing songs and recording albums.
Hanging out a lot.
Yeah. And so it's like the whole high school experience is missed on us. Like whatever kids do in high school, because we were just playing in a band, trying to grow up, but being an artist and refusing to grow up can cause some pretty interesting songs to be written. So that's probably what this, because we're like breaching adulthood right now. So we're at a good place where we feel like we can.
Yeah, I think like the self-titled record was kind of like sort of a segue album for us because we were sort of getting used to being the three-piece and we still had... our bass player Austin playing a few tracks, and that was just kind of, I think, like a, sort of like an adolescent kind
yeah.
of an album. Mm-hmm. We still felt like
yeah,
we were
totally.
Figuring out what we were doing. And with this next record, it came out It was coming out two years after puberty. Yeah.
With that album.
Now we're sort of like, we kind of know, we're leaving puberty. We kind of know what our sound is.
Right. And we're able to look back on the past with like an actual like clarity. Yeah. And actually, at least a little bit.
This is the first time we've recorded an album in a real studio. The past, all of the rest of them have just been like in a home studio. So this was kind of like a milestone in that sense.
Yeah. How has the real studio experience compared to kind of the basement studio?
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely been a huge learning experience.
Oh, absolutely.
We're blessed to be working with Mark, who's really a huge mentor, and he knows exactly what he's talking about. And because we did a single with him, and we sort of didn't know what we were going to do, but I'm glad that we made the decision.
He has such good power. He's the guy that's producing the album.
Mark Ryder, yeah.
And he has such good power because it's like we always kind of look to him. Like, what do you think of this idea? And if he doesn't like it, we're immediately like, yeah, okay, he knows
what's
up. Like,
again.
Probably shouldn't do this thing. And then he also has his own ideas, which all always end up being like, we're not afraid to tell him if we don't like an idea. He's just such a good person.
Genuine.
Yeah, to be working with. So we're really blessed about that. And then to be working in such an incredible studio, because the place was like built in the 70s. And just looks totally beautiful. We're sitting in it right
fits
now.
Fits the vibe of the songs really well. And we've kind of experimented with the brown shag carpet,
and you can dim the lights, so you get a really good mood and atmosphere going.
A lot of different like tonal colors happening on the songs. Yeah. We use like different drum sets.
Totally.
Tons of different keyboards. Some of the ones that are already here. So,
you guys are just going nuts with
guitars.
All the
guitars I can't afford.
We're at least trying to take advantage.
Kind of harness the best of bias and maybe the worst too if we keep crashing the computers, but. No one has to know about that.
Now, one thing, I saw the little video on Facebook. You guys are incorporating some brass into this album.
Just a bit.
Just a bit?
Yeah.
Just on like maybe one song?
Three or four.
Or do you have
four,
a
about four.
Four songs?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. Which brass instruments do you have featured?
We have a sax and a trumpet player on
sax. He played I don't think he ever got to play the alto.
I think he did.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sounds amazing. Oh, wait.
No, he did the baritone and
the baritone and the tenor.
Okay,
I don't know if he ever got to the alto, but...
That's probably fine.
Yeah, we've got some...
So I guess there's really three different...
Yeah, three different instruments.
Although sax is technically not a brass, fun fact.
It's true.
It's a woodwind.
Oh.
There's your music fact for the day.
Oh.
That's what you get going to college, learning stuff.
You and your book learning.
That in college debt.
All right. Well, let's move on to this segment we have on the show called Five Questions.
Yes.
I'm
going
to ask you guys five questions that everyone gets asked.
I know what's up.
I know what song. I know the song.
All right, see you guys. Five questions. All right, so cue the music. It's time for five questions. Now, outside of this epic West Virginia tale that you have spun me, what is the worst gig you guys have ever had?
Where do we start?
Jesus. Let's go clockwise.
Okay. Yikes. I don't want to be first. The worst gig. Okay, think fast. I think maybe it's probably not worst gig, but it's one of the worst gigs we've ever played was in... not Cleveland. What's the other place?
Akron,
Ohio, which is where the Black Keys are from. So that was fun. We did like a pilgrimage to the Black Keys, but it was in this very strange, like hippie house, and we were in the basement, and they were growing things in the basement.
Legal things, quite honestly.
We think. We don't know. We
are
didn't.
You a botanist?
We didn't go peeking through there.
Who are but, you to decide?
But then they were like, "Yeah, we just got a new PA system." Go and look, and it's a mixing board.
It's like two inputs.
With I think it just had one mic input and then another input.
Instrument cable.
Yeah, for an instrument cable. And so we're like, well, we do like three mics. I'm like, oh, that's not possible. And I just happen to have my really crummy mixing board with me. I wasn't using it, so managed to patch that up. But it wasn't a good show.
It was a bad show. I decided to like take a... Someone had told me that like olive oil was like really good for your voice, and like if you take like a shot of olive oil before you sing, it's like really good for you. And so I decided to do that, and like I like had never felt so awful in my life.
We slept there, yeah, and I slept on a couch underneath a bunch of plant things that weren't growing. They were all dead.
They were dry and dead.
I woke up in the morning with dead leaves all over me. I was like, what? Why am I sleeping here?
It happens.
All right, That's mine.
I don't know if I'd qualify this as the worst, but it's just one that came to mind. I was going to do Saycraft. Were you going to say that?
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay. This one was very, very stressful because literally about 30 seconds before we were supposed to start playing, Brian's Hammond organ just stopped working. And anyone who knows us knows that that's kind of a crucial element. Because Brian's got three keyboards, right? But if anyone's going to go, that one's a bad one.
I mean, I have three keyboards for a reason. They're
important. So it's like that, that would be like if your bass player just was not there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that is our low end, essentially. So pretty much about half to a third of our songs kind of became impossible to do because...
Like I broke a guitar string.
How long did we have to play for?
We had to play for like an hour and a half or something. Yeah. So it was just like, okay, ready, set, go. Totally don't know what we're going to play, but we have to play.
I was just
playing
on piano.
Yeah, so and, I mean...
The sound was just
in retrospect, it wasn't awful, but it was just like the stress of like you were in the situation you've never had to deal with before. Deal with it.
Where a keyboard was
and everyone's staring at us and we're up on the stage like, okay, here we go. Yeah, it was really strange. Yeah, so we had to like play all these random covers that we hadn't rehearsed at all, and it was not very fun.
It was really hot up there, and like I had like a migraine through like the entire thing. I was pretty miserable.
Yeah, I mean the venue was fine, but it was just like the situation was like really
Seth, what's yours?
Nerve-wracking.
My worst gig memory is when we played in Fredericksburg, and we played at the Art Mart, and. We show up and like we're like expecting like a PA system to be there just because like that's like, you know, we're like coming from Manassas and so we're like, oh, like of course it's gonna be like a PA when we play at this venue. Well, like a bit more like an art space, I guess. And there's no PA and we've got like how many people were on that bill? Like six bands.
Yeah. The guy was like, yeah, usually a band brings a PA.
We're like, okay, cool, yeah, like things will be
like,
fine.
Wait, what? Usually a band brings a PA? Like you don't schedule that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You just assume.
Leave it up to chance.
Yeah.
And
hope for the best.
So no PA shows up, right? And we had our friend's band on tour from New Jersey, Radis. And, you know, they're like a massive band. They had like six or seven people in their band. They had like, I think they had like one brass player and then like, you know, like a drummer and like all these other different people. And luckily they were fine because they only needed one vocal. But like, we're like, oh God, like we need like three vocals. And... We weren't able to do that, so...
Well, the show started really late, too.
Yeah, the show started really late, and there were cops outside at some point. And so we're like, okay, well, they're like, can you guys, like, do, like, maybe, like, three songs is what they told us to do.
Yeah.
And so we're like, yeah, okay, sure, we'll do three songs. And we're like, okay, we're going to do these, like, two songs that, like, we haven't finished writing yet or, like, rehearsed really at all, and we're going to do Slow Down Jerusalem.
It was fun, though. I thought it was fun.
It was weird. Yeah. It made me really sad.
I couldn't hear anything.
It was weird, yeah.
Yeah,
we just played these two songs that weren't even finished.
Everyone's like, "Oh, you're done?" We're like,
"Oh, they're like, oh, you could have like played longer." It's like, but you told us.
Yeah. It's fine.
And then
it
was just like, whatever.
You
okay,
know,
fine. Yeah.
It's fine.
After listening to those three answers, I was like, "Man, those shows were like okay." I just have to deal with that kind of stuff all the time. We're so picky.
I think we've probably blocked out the bad ones.
Maybe like the time I got bitten in Richmond.
Oh, yeah, the Halloween show.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, we went on at like 2 a.m. and this girl was totally drunk.
She got on stage
and stole the mic from me. And I was telling her, I was like, we need to start playing because we want to go home. She turned around and bit me on my arm.
What?
Hard. It hurt. Yeah. She was dressed in like a blue bunny suit.
Take a bite
Halloween.
Over like
Richmond's
an instrument
weird, man.
Malfunction, honestly.
Yeah. Richmond is weird.
If you have to.
Those are our worst shows.
As long as your keyboard works, you can get bitten as many times as you need to be.
Speaking of broken keyboards, that's a perfect segue to the next question.
So many good segues.
The worst equipment malfunction you've had during the show.
Yeah. We already covered mine.
Yeah. Should have studied the five questions better.
Yeah. My keyboard dying was because it's expensive.
It's crucial.
So, yeah. It was like, you know.
What keyboard was it?
It was the Hammond,
yeah,
which is definitely the most expensive one. And so it was a combination of being stressed out of like, oh man, what are we going to play now? And then also like, oh man, this thing costs me a lot of money. What am I going to do? Yeah. We got to fix though. I don't know. Is there any drum malfunctions? I don't know how a drum kit's going to malfunction.
Yeah. Sometimes it's weird kind of like... sharing a kit between a bunch of different bands and everyone sort of moves it around and it's like you only have so much time to set up sort of a thing. So that can be stressful, but usually you get by. I mean, Mostly drum stuff's pretty fun unless you like drop a stick or something. You've broken a lot of strings. There was a period where you broke a string.
There's like, there's a period where like I broke strings a lot. But I haven't broken a string in a long time now. But now I need to get new tubes for my amp. So like, it was also the show at the Signcraft Brewery.
Yeah.
And my amp just like started like making these like really like, it would just like start like distorting. And I was like,
right.
I was like, what the hell is happening? And like, I was really confused. And I was like already stressed about Brian's keyboard and then like having to play these songs. I was like, oh my God, like everything's awful happening. I thought maybe the power was bad there or something. But it turned out I needed new tubes, as Mark informed me. So I got some new tubes. Everything's fine.
What goes back to Mark?
Yeah. Everything goes back to Mark. I mean, what's that segue into something?
Yeah.
All right. The dirtiest or scariest place you've stayed during a tour?
So I think we just talked about that.
Yeah, we should have honestly studied these better.
Well, because
Akron was pretty dirty.
Akron was bad. Also West Virginia, right?
Yeah. Our car, very dirty.
Yeah.
After that.
Our car is very dirty. For the most part, I've always kind of enjoyed all the places that we stayed. Yeah. I never really had too much of a problem except
for
Akron.
That was our first time that we actually had to sleep in the car.
Yeah.
For the most part, we've gotten by either just driving back in the middle of the night. Or
yeah, but as far as sleeping goes, we've been pretty lucky with the people that we've stayed with. There was the one time that when we stayed in New York and we got up and found out that in the city that our car all full of equipment had been towed.
Yeah.
And that was a nightmare. But that doesn't really count.
I feel like we might have talked about this in the last podcast.
The guy
with all the pictures of the whales getting harpooned and stuff.
That's right.
He was showing us all of his swords. That was a little bit scary.
That was a different time in New York.
Yeah, I just don't remember if we mentioned that in the last podcast. So, can't be that important.
Yeah,
it's fine.
This guy sounds interesting, though.
Oh, yeah. His name was Bottles the Clown.
Bottles the Clown. He comes from whaling stock and has a fine collection of swords.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening, Bottles.
Nice guy. He made us breakfast.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Great breakfast.
Yeah.
All right. The closest you've come to quitting music?
The closest that I've come to quitting music? I don't know.
Doesn't really enter my
brain. Yeah, because that's just like quitting music or quitting like the band. Because I feel like I quitting music has never really
option
entered my mind. Yeah, because I feel like if I wanted to quit music, I'd be at like college right now, you know, Chris. just kidding.
Segue.
But quitting the band, not recently being like the past couple of years, but throughout high school, there were definitely times where like, I know me and Seth would talk and just be like, man, I'm quitting the band for no real reason. Just like, I'm done with this band. Like,
we need to go play Anti-Flag covers.
It's like when you start dating a girl and it's awesome. And then you hit like a lull. And it's like...
And you're like, lol.
Yeah, you're just like, lol, peacing out, bye. Because you get bored, and it's like things just aren't as exciting anymore, but you got to push through that, because that's going to happen inevitably. You push through that, and then things get really good again, and things stay good, because you know each other, you know? That's kind of like what we went through. So there was definitely a time in high school where it was just like, ugh, I'm bored. I'm going to quit this band to start a new band with Seth called the Screaming Tesla Coils.
I think
Coils.
He just didn't like me, so yeah. He just didn't want to be in a band with me.
It's like really bizarre music.
That's mine, I think, just starting
Chris.
High school moments.
Well, yeah, it's funny that you should mention college because, like, what separates me from Seth and Brian, apart from the fact that I didn't want to quit the band in high school, is that I actually did go to college and I finished it. Thank you, Seth.
You just finished. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about to graduate. So that was weird being in school and in the band at the same time. And I don't think it ever like drove me to the point of saying like this is too much. I don't think I can handle both of these. But there were like, for instance, like freshman year, because I first went to school to study music, and I thought like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna study jazz. And then kind of like a couple months into it, I sort of realized that like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this kind of a thing, and like studying music at an academic level is like really competitive and stressful, and you have to be like super on top of your like practice routine, and you got to do all this theory stuff and singing and keyboards and all this stuff, and all that stuff's amazing, and anyone who studies music, I have the utmost respect for them, but
God bless them.
I sort of realized halfway through freshman year that it wasn't something that I wanted to do. And so I kind of had this moment of like existential like should I, like, I knew I had to stay in school, but I kind of had to, like, have this weird transitional thing where I was like, I'm still kind of studying music, taking some classes, and I eventually switched to like a minor, but in a way it felt sort of like I was quitting music in a sense, because like a lot of the guys that I knew from high school who went to Mason and studied jazz were like huge kind of role models for me. So for me to kind of like not follow that same path felt like I was kind of giving up on something in a way. But looking back, I think I made the right decision, because to have gone through all 4 years of studying music would be kind of insane. And I think I've honestly been able to pursue more through the band than I would have been able to, because, a lot of guys, like, they get their degree and then it's kind of like they don't know what to do, you know? It's like you go into teaching or whatever, you play gigs, that's fine. But I think being in the band has kind of been its own sort of education in a way. So It felt like I gave up on something, but really I think it worked out. So
this isn't the story of you wanting to quit, but more of the story of you
quitting your major.
Yeah, making it more of a thing.
I mean, I was quitting music in a sense, but in order to play more music, just less intelligent music, I guess.
less intelligent music.
Less sophisticated.
But somehow more fulfilling, maybe?
I guess so.
Your jazz recital won't get thousands of screaming people, and we'd rather like...
Have we ever gotten thousands of screaming people? Don't think
our music won't get.
I think you're just
of
thinking of like a mob.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. What about you, Seth? Did you ever?
Didn't I quit the band right before I wrote Manipulation?
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Seth has actually quit the band.
I'm kind of an awful person.
Yeah.
Seth quits Facebook every now and then. That's kind of like quitting the band.
It's kind of dropped off the face of the earth.
If you're not in the band Facebook chat, I think you're kind of not in the band.
Yep.
For a while, I prefer being off.
This is 2016 right now, and if you're not on Facebook, you're not on the band.
Just pulling a Thoreau, dropping off,
living in
a cabin.
Off.
Maybe throwing a Thoreau would be better.
Throwing a Thoreau.
All right. Tongue twister. The best memory you guys have together as a band. You're quitting now?
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments. And this was kind of a rare moment where, like, in the moment, I realized, like, yo, this is a really special moment that's happening. Because it's like, usually stuff happens, then you look back, you're like, oh, that was great. But this is, like, one of those times where it's like, I knew that it was cool. Is when we were recording our self-titled album, and we had Austin there with us for, I think he was there for the last day. And we were tracking the vocals on Honeycomb. We decided to do this sort of 50s doo-wop thing at the end, which originally was, I don't think it was part of the song. We just had this idea. So it was the only time in Dusk Wheels history, I think, where we did like
four part
harmony with Austin there. We all kind of figured out like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to sing this part. You're going to sing that. We all sang into one mic.
One take.
We did it maybe one or two takes, and it was just like hearing it back. I mean, it's kind of quieter now in the mix, but while we were recording that, it felt like we had like tapped into something really cool. And it was also sort of this bittersweet moment of like this connection with Austin that we had for that moment.
Definitely.
And it's like, you know, because after, I mean, yeah, we see him every now and then, but like that was sort of his real parting with us. And it was kind of a cool thing. And while it was going on, I was like, yeah, this is a good one. That was one of my favorite Dusk Wheels moments.
Do you have one, Seth?
I love everything.
Yeah, I feel like the times that we would hang out outside of the band, those were always like really refreshing. I remember particularly during the making of the self-titled, just like thinking we've been working so hard. We've been doing like weeks of just work.
Little did we know.
Right. But like, let's just take like one night where we can just hang out and eat some pizza and play Halo, which we like never play video games together, but if we never do play a video game together, it'll be Halo. Which I crush them at.
Chris crush?
But
well, getting into the Scorpion tank on Blood Gulch doesn't mean you crush. It just means you're a rat bastard.
I just know how to camp really well.
Slime.
But no. And then I think the time that we hung out on New Year's was really great. It was a lot of fun.
It was really good.
Because we stayed up all night. And what did we do? We watched Scream and... We watched some other horror movies. Then we got up. We didn't go to bed. It was
We just went straight to mass.
We went to church.
Falling
asleep at church. It was just really fun being with like, you know, these guys and knowing like yeah, these are the people that I choose to hang out with on New Year's. You know, it's like not only am I working with them all the time, but they're my best friends, you know, and it added to like making that album just like this incredible experience of like, these guys are more than just my bandmates, you know.
I think probably my favorite memory so far was our last tour in the summer. And just, we were together for such a long stretch of time and we experienced so many different things together. We saw, I don't know, God knows how many like famous, like historical things, you know, like Statue of Liberty or whatever. And, you know, endured like whatever shows we had and ate together and just
ate together.
Just eating together is
right.
a very
break bread together.
Personal thing. Did we read together?
I said we break bread together.
I said we read together. And I was like, what did we read, Chris?
Yeah, we're not a very literate.
This is the driver's manual. It felt weird when I came home and I wasn't with them every second after that. But like that tour was like a very like an emotional,
you know,
beautiful thing.
What's another really good one, which we sort of mentioned on the other podcast, but like the after band practice, for a couple months we had this sort of ritual which we got into of rollerblading one in the morning, because for the music video Emerald Skates, what we were rollerblading in the video. So in order to like
be good at rollerblading,
we had to practice, you know, because it's not
because
like
we hadn't been rollerblading in years and years and years.
Yeah, so we kind of like trained ourselves to look somewhat natural on
a lot of work went into that video.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
There were so many nights, I don't know how many, where we would just go out to this like basketball court near my
house in the morning,
just be skating around in the middle.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, just
me
falling on our
just
butts.
Trying out new tricks,
weird
and, like,
fruit on the court.
Just, like, it was
under the moonlight. It was some
we
magical,
romantic,
laughing
and
magical
having a good
moments,
time.
Yeah,
trying out tricks.
Yeah, if you're trying to repair a relationship with someone, just go rollerblading with them, because there's
at
something
night.
About that. It's just it's so at night too.
Just you
very
too.
Relaxing.
Night blading.
You heard it here first.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's get some music going. The next song you guys played for us this fine evening is Cassiopeia. I pronounced that right?
You did.
Nailed it.
Astronomers around the world applaud you.
Yes. Take that, Galileo. So here it is for you guys listening. It's the Dusk Whales with their song, Cassiopeia.
I have to pick up.
No. Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed Cassiopeia by the Dusk Whales. You guys got any shows coming up here soon?
Oh, funny you should ask that, Keaton. We actually have quite a few. So we are going to be playing at the Pyramid Atlantic in Silver Spring, Maryland on May 28th. And actually, just yesterday, we booked this other show at the, you know, the Ald Shebeen in Fairfax.
Yeah,
we're playing there the day after on May 29th. And rolling into June here, on June 10th, Friday night, we are playing at the Fredericksburg Sounds of Summer concert series. And June 11th, we got a doubleheader, folks. We're playing two shows in Warrenton, Virginia. One at the old Bushead Brewery, and one at Fat Tuesdays with the one and only Daycare Swindlers. That's going to be a good one. June 17th, we're playing at the Arlington Forum with this band called Scythian. Very cool. And June 18th, we're playing at this place called Far Downers in Crozet, which is pretty far down there.
Yeah, you can stop now.
There's more, but that's
a lot.
I'm
sure there
you
are.
You guys are just going to have to go through on the Facebook and
yeah,
the Twitter and stay updated.
You'll check out the OP.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, you could probably throw a dart at a calendar and there's a Dusk Whale show going on somewhere.
That's how we book our shows, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of shows, I got some stuff to tell you guys about. First off, open mics. There's a great open mic every Tuesday at Philadelphia Tavern in Old Town Manassas, hosted by the very own Stephen Lee. Beautiful man. Then every Monday night and Thursday night at Epicure Cafe, there's an open mic going on. And then there's a whole bunch of shows happening in the area, especially this summer, not just with the Dusk Whales, but there are a few other bands. May 26th, Red Sword is playing at the Bourbon Room in Fredericksburg. On May 27th, Azura and Atlas Concept are playing at Epicure Cafe. Then a whole string of Daycare Swindler shows. I'm excited. June 3rd, Daycare Swindler, Supreme Commander, and Walk the Plank, My Holy Trinity, are playing at Fat Tuesdays in Fairfax. Then, as Chris just mentioned, June 11th, Daycare Swindlers, Dusk Whales, and Cabin Creek at Fat Tuesdays in Warrenton. Then June 14th, the Daycare Swindlers are playing with Leftover Crack at Rock and Roll Hotel. And then the Daycare Swindlers are playing once again at Headmaster's Pub. All going to be great shows.
Lord.
And that Headmaster's Pub one is actually July 9th, Daycare Swindlers at Headmaster's Pub. I might have said that wrong. I got these things written down in numbers. Then July 16th, the Cataclysmic Bacon Fest, the third, is happening at Art Mart.
Playing that.
I think they moved the venue, actually.
Oh, they moved the venue.
It's someplace with the PA. Central Station or something.
Yeah, the guy Casey's putting it together just unfriended music. Me on Facebook. Mm. Fun story. If he listens to this, dude, I'm sorry. Please, like...
Why did he unfriend you?
You guys I saw it. You guys just
you
need
saw,
to hash it up.
Dude,
sit down,
man,
get
I messaged
a coffee.
Him.
Let's
why'd you unfriend
him? Why? I sent him a music video to Violet, which is a great whole song.
You shouldn't
song.
Have done that. You should have just been like, I'm sorry, dude.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Let's let bygones be. No,
and
you
then
should,
I sent him a bunch
probably,
of hearts.
You should probably apologize to him.
Send him a kissy emoji. Apologize for liking Courtney Love. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, public, that I love Courtney Love.
Everyone stops listening right now.
Yeah.
Great. There go all my listeners.
And then July 21st through July 24th is the great, the mighty, the bold, the Untitled Music Festival happening down in Newcastle, Virginia. It's going to be so much fun.
Very easy to drive there.
A lot easier. Mm. The road's only small dirt road. Not a lot of dirt.
A lot of grass,
road.
Though. A lot of grass.
A lot of grass. Yeah. But that's good. That means you don't sink.
A lot of different kinds of grass.
And then every Friday night in Herndon in September is the Jam Brew Festival, which is going to be awesome. It's ran by a really great guy, Joe. It's going to be so much fun. Try and make it out. Big thank you to Mark Ryder and Ken Barnum for recording, mixing, producing, and keeping us safe from monsters rising out of the ocean and attacking our cities. And a big thank you to Brandon Isaac for helping us out with our recording today. And a really big thank you to Bias Studios for hosting us and letting us do the show here. They got amazing facilities. Check them out at biasstudios.com. Check out their Facebook, which is Bias Studios. Check out Cassathetic's Facebook. Definitely check out Dusk Whale's Facebook, but you probably already have because you guys are at, like, what, 2 million likes now? 3 million?
Thousands of screaming fans.
Going down one at a time.
We do go down likes.
We're
going downhill right now.
And then be sure to follow the Instagrams as well, at Bias Studios, at Cassathetic, at Ken Barnum, and at Mark Ryder Music, and at the Dusk Whales.
Yeah.
And then you got the Twitters as well, which those are pretty much all the same, except for mine is at Keaton Thinking. That's all the social medias I have to tell you about, so you can media in a social environment.
Instagram, you're on Instagram now.
Yeah. We covered the Instagram, I believe.
Right on.
Pay attention, Brian.
Sorry.
There's going to be a quiz.
You can edit that part out.
No, it's staying. It's all staying. We're live. Now, we got one more song for you guys, which, Seth, your vocal range on this song. Like, what the hell, dude?
You just listen to Pat Sounds from start to finish every day while driving, and you can do it.
10 easy steps.
Yeah. 10 easy steps.
Anything you guys want to say about A Strange Brother before everybody hears it?
I originally, like, wrote the lyrics, like, about...
Well, we wrote the lyrics together.
Well, I'm speaking perspective.
Tension.
Well, about all of our brothers. It's very it is. It's more
I was
about
gonna get to
the
that.
Three of us, yeah. And about the connections that we have with the three of our brothers, a very strange connection.
And the various like estrangement of them.
One thing that's cool about this song is this was one of the tracks that we had horns play on, so there's this epic part at the end where there's like the two different saxes and the trumpet that are kind of like blaring. So on the record, it's going to sound really, really cool.
I mean, on here, it sounds really cool.
Yeah,
on the record,
like
you guys are going
good.
To have two woodwinds and a brass.
Yes, indeed. That's
I correct. Paid attention. See, Ryan?
Yeah.
Should have paid attention.
You did well on the quiz.
All right, well, here it is for you guys. A Strange Brother by the Dusk Whales. I'm Keaton Buse. Enjoy the rest of your next 2 weeks, and I'll be back with more music.
No one else to do, nobody's talking. Won't it love you?